Bernard de Montreal. Preparatory Communication Number 66. The Descent of the Spirit. The descent of the mind is equivalent to a change of mind. That is to say, to a reversal of ideas that suit the planetary spirit of man, in favor of the universal spirit of man. The infusion of universal energy into the mind of man frees him from the subjective psychological effects created in his mind by intelligences that no longer have a mind, but are only memory. An intelligence that no longer has a mind can no longer recognize the difference between itself and its memory. So that his memory becomes the spirit of this intelligence, and man cannot benefit from the intelligence of such a spirit which is only a shell. I.E. A memory kept alive only by the power of astral matter on the astral body of the deceased. Astral matter is linked to the animal consciousness of man, so that all astral matter has on man a sufficient cohesive force to keep the memory of the soul, the memory of man, intact. The elevation of man's spirit introduces him to a mental condition that corresponds to a vibratory rate that no longer depends on astral forces. That is, on those forces that no longer have a spirit, in other words, intelligence. Man is the only being who possesses a total mind, that is, a mind that can be elevated vibratorily at a rate that allows him to free himself from the power of astral forces on him and in him. Any intelligence that is not living is limited by the fact that any personification of this intelligence is real only to the extent that it is exerted on the human brain. But its reality is not suitable for what man can know about reality. That is, about pure intelligence and the worlds in which it lives. The elevation of man's spirit frees him from his psychological link with a world of images and thoughts, made to allow him to have the impression of being real, while reality cannot be made. Since reality cannot be manufactured, it must be the product of the creative activity of pure intelligence on man, thus raising the vibratory rate of his mind and eventually penetrating reality, that is, the world of energy. As long as man has not penetrated the world of energy, his experience does not come from reality, but from the astral. And this experience does not serve him. It serves the astral in him who colors his life according to this experience. This coloring gives man the impression of experience without benefiting from it in terms of energy. Man must benefit from the experience on the level of energy, and not on the psychological level dominated by the astral. As long as he does not realize this, the astral intelligences benefit from his experience, and he suffers it for their benefit. When the vibratory rate of man has been elevated beyond the rate of his astralized and astralizing consciousness, experience is no longer necessary for him psychologically. It has value only in terms of the energy it brings to its vibratory consciousness. The rise in the vibratory rate of human consciousness becomes increasingly high with time. That is, time, or events and the way in which man reacts to these events in his awakened consciousness, raises the vibratory rate of his mental body and other principles. The elevation of the vibratory rate of human consciousness consists in a connection between himself and his pure intelligence, so that this elevation does not only correspond to a change in intelligence, but also to an increase in the visionary power of man who opens the doors of the invisible to him. The invisible is nothing other than another world where other intelligences evolve that are not subject to the laws of memory, such as the unconscious man. These worlds are vast and their influence on the material world are of first instance. But the spirit of man is far too dense, and the elevation of this spirit in vibratory energy is essential, so that it can pass from one level of consciousness and science to another. Hence the possibilities of multiple life and creativity, not to mention longevity, extending to infinity according to the hierarchical laws of light of which these worlds are made. Man is a being almost blinded by the astral. The effect of the latter on his mind is so powerful that a very low intelligence activates his brain. And the weakness of this intelligence can only be remedied when his mind undergoes an increase in the vibratory rate, which alters the energy of his brain and nourishes all his principles. The human being belongs to an order of intelligence that has not yet succeeded in closing the circle of life. The human being, not because of his material body, but because of his spirit, has not yet succeeded in ascending beyond the laws of matter. It is the only intelligent species in the galaxy that does not yet understand the laws of life and intelligence. The increase in the vibratory rate of the human spirit is an essential condition for evolution on Earth. And without this elevation, man would eventually destroy his planet and race. For the intelligence he possesses is under the control of the forces of death, of this world which is conscious only of its connection with the material body, and which seeks by all possible and imaginable means to continue its experience through man by using his brain. That is why the spirit of man is powerless. For it serves other spirits who are without intelligence, without light, while he himself is not aware of being used for their ends of all kinds. The elevation of the spirit does not mean the education of the spirit, but the harmonization of the spirit of man with the universal energy in him, which communicates through the higher mental plane. When the mind of man records statements from universal circuits, It is forced to dissociate its material reality from its mental reality. And it is this dissociation that elevates his mind, that gives his mind a freedom that cannot be acquired through philosophical education. For in the course of philosophical education, man is not listening to the universal circuits, but takes care of the play of his highly reflective thoughts to deepen human existence and those questions that are part of the unconsciousness of his mind. The elevation of the spirit has no end when the process has begun. For the real intelligence of man, or his intelligence of mysteries, does not cease to grow, since he has access more and more to areas of reality which are part of his power of consciousness. The power of consciousness being this state of mind that allows man to go deeper and deeper into understanding what is beyond his senses. The elevation of spirit corresponds to this power, according to whether the relationship between the universal energy and the spirit of man adjusts more and more, until duality no longer disturbs the personality, until the universal intelligence, or the real spirit in man, or the spirit realized in man, or the free spirit in man, is perfectly related to the ego of man, or the inferior intelligence of man. For the relationship between the mind of man and the spirit in man to be perfect, man must get used to the intelligence of the spirit in him, not to the intelligence of his mind, but to the intelligence of the spirit in him. In other words, not to the intelligence of his ego or his unleashed mind, but to the intelligence of the mind in him. For this intelligence does not depend on the senses of man, nor on his memory. So that his mind rises in vibration and he understands more and more what is outside his senses. So that he can, little by little, be freed from his senses, and enter the world of intelligences that govern matter and its multiple forms. The elevation of the spirit is a supermaterial phenomenon, in the sense that the phenomenon coincides with the development of the etheric consciousness, which will be the higher consciousness of the future man. This consciousness cannot be reflected because material senses do not have access to it. However, the world that this consciousness allows us to know is a world whose energy is the driving force of the material world that man knows through his senses. The elevation of the spirit can only be gradually increased in man, for his natural temperament, his personality, must be adjusted to this change. For the abode of man's spirit, his material body, his nervous system, his emotions and thoughts must be integrated, that is, vibratorily adjusted to a higher vibration that coincides with the vibration of the ether or these worlds of pure intelligence that underlie the matter. Man is a being all the more fragile because the reality he advocates is appropriate to his psychology and psychological balance. If this psychology is to be gutted so that its psyche becomes more powerful, it must undergo an elevation of spirit that reminds it of the Milky Way, without going through the world of death. The spirit of man is a psychic entity that comes from the Milky Way, from those vast worlds where the spirit has progressed for a very long time, before linking itself to the Earth where it underwent its last transformation that coincided with man's evolution, through the cyclical phenomenon of death. However, death exists only in, or during, the period when the spirit of man has remained a prisoner of the Earth and of those psychic spheres, of which death is one of the most powerful. The psyche of death has shaken man's mind enough that he now lives only on memory rather than on real intelligence. Now, memory is the destruction of the real intelligence in man, and one day he will have to return to the Milky Way through the universal spirit in him that coincides with the light of the ether. In this universal ether, man will be able to regain what he has lost over the ages, this time seasoned by experience, and conscious of the dangers that await any spirit that loses consciousness of its contact with light. The elevation of the spirit is not only a phenomenon of intelligence in man, but also a psychological phenomenon, so that any elevation of spirit gives man power over matter. Man's power over matter, over nature, is not a biological life condition but a psychological life condition. And this power is essential if man is ever to return to the world of intelligences, which underlie matter, of the Milky Way. The elevation of spirit makes man lose his notion of being, in order to develop the state of being. The difference between the two is simple: the notion of being gives him his subjective psychology, and the state of being, his creative intelligence, free of subjective psychology, what can be called his creative and dynamic psyche. It is through his psyche that he will rediscover his power over matter and that he will be able to understand the laws of material and psychological life that underlie it. As long as man has not undergone a sufficient elevation of mind, he is not able to dissociate himself from the overwhelming force of his personal psychology, so that he cannot feel free in his personality, so that he cannot be conscious of his human person, beyond the values imposed by his social psychology. However, this psychology is not real, because it is constructed of psychological concerns that are part of the constant interplay between the ego and its master, memory. The elevation of the spirit requires that man live more and more of what manifests itself inside his brain, instead of living from what is printed on his brain. In other words, man must learn to endure growing mental presence of real intelligence in his mind. This life with two people, so to speak, creates a decrease in his subjective psychology and an increase in his psyche. The elevation of his spirit results from this, and the power of the senses over his intelligence gradually diminishes, thus freeing his spirit from his senses and opening the doors of the ether to him. The power of the senses over the intelligence of man, or over his mind, is so great that it is impossible for man to live perfectly from his mind. So that it is impossible for man to recognize the infinity of the Milky Way within the scope of his experience, the balance between his material intelligence and his suprasensible intelligence being always fixed by the power of the senses, and not by the power of his spirit. Now, the power of his spirit grows with the decrease in him of the power of death. The decrease in the power of death over man coincides with the elevation of his spirit, until the day when man knows that death can no longer do anything against him, because the intelligence of his spirit perfectly coincides with the intelligence of the Milky Way. It is this rapprochement that is called fusion, that is, the unification of what is mortal with what is eternal and endless. The product of this unification is the immortality of man and the development of a new earthly race never again limited by the world of the senses, and never again influenced by the world of death. The elevation of the spirit includes three major phases in man. First, the awareness that comes to him as a result of the realization that his intellectual ability is the product of a psychological necessity related to the illusion that his senses give to his ego. Secondly, the gradual and inevitable development of increasingly refined telepathic mental communication, until the total loss of the illusion of the intellect, thus opening the doors of pure and pre-personal intelligence to man. Thirdly, the descent into the planes of human consciousness of an energy, a force, which is the real will and intelligence, connected to the ether of man and progressing accordingly to the evolutionary character of the spirit, which is detached more and more from the psychological ego, to live only from a psyche which is appropriate to the occult and creative reality of all men who must reach this stage of advanced evolution. The elevation of the spirit is not under the control of man, because his ego cannot alter his vital consciousness, although he may develop more or less beneficial characteristics, allowing his vital consciousness to be more active in him. But the vital consciousness of man is the product of the unrestricted activity of his mind, under the vibratory authority of the cosmic creative energy that can be called higher consciousness in him. However, this higher consciousness, once established in man, allows his mind to take control of the human material realm because of his free movement in the ether of matter. The ether preserves man, that is, man is born of the ether and must return to it. One of the great realities still unknown to man is hidden behind the veil of his senses. And this reality can only be conquered by man following the elevation of his spirit. That is, following the transmutation of his astral emotional energy into mental energy, or intelligence energy. The energy of intelligence is the only one that can open the ether to man and elevate his consciousness beyond his astralized consciousness, the one dominated by his material senses. Man proceeds in stages to conquer his freedom, and these stages are counted. The last one he must cross will take him beyond the threshold of natural death, from where he will discover the secret of his life and his passage on the material level. But his mind is heavy with consequences, because for the mind, or for the mind of man to be able to correct the error of the incarnation, that is, ignorance of the laws of the mind, he must regain a total view of his mind, that is, he must be able to bear the weight of the realization that comes to any being who dares to challenge the principles of truth and lies inculcated by education and philosophy. All science, that is, all knowledge, must be based on the mind and not on human thought, for the latter is not part of the mind, as man believes, but part of the memory and contact between man and the planes of death. This condition is so frightening that it is worth saying that evolution is the destruction of truth and lies. These two facets of human thought are the conditioning of the mind of man. And every man who has recognized the polarity of thought has recognized the need not to submit to any other dictation than that which comes from his own mind. That is, from his own real intelligence. The elevation of the spirit of man coincides with the elevation of human consciousness and the abolition of the earthly law of subjective thought. This new condition of life on earth will elevate the spirit of man so high that the day will come when the vibratory rate of the human brain will allow the space between atoms to be visited by man in spirit. And this will mark the end of materialistic science, for man will finally be able to know the ether, that is, the lower and extreme limit of matter, and its link with the life forces that evolve and direct the evolution of the spheres will be established. The evolution of the mind must coincide with the public transit that some people and others from elsewhere will experience. This public transit system will mark the end of humanity as we have known it. It is useless for human beings to believe that the whole earth can be elevated in vibration, because the global population is too differentiated in evolution for humanity to move from one stage to another level of evolution as a whole instantly. The Earth's evolution must progress in stages. The evolution of some individuals, on the other hand, is marked by an end in view of their penetration into the higher planes of consciousness of which they are already partially conscious. This consciousness must grow until the day when the ether, or atomic consciousness, must be summoned to interpenetrate with human consciousness so that the forces of intelligence, whose primary function will be to create an invulnerable society, may spread across the globe. Man does not yet understand the role of his mind on matter. He does not understand that the spirit in him is all the more powerful because he is not affected by his inferior nature, a nature manifested according to his emotions and subjective thoughts. The spirit of man coincides perfectly with the universal spirit, that is, with his inner power, when he ceased to be a prisoner of the harmful influence of the spirit of death on his being. Man is so ignorant of everything that his own mind is powerless to change the vibrations of his subtle bodies in order to relaunch it in an evolutionary curve. Evolution for man is associated with a kind of upward trajectory to which philosophy or spirituality alludes. But in fact, evolution is only a word that makes something resonate in him that he likes to hear, but does not understand the meaning. The evolution of the spirit of man is already present in its material manifestation. It is enough for man to feel the beginning of his intelligence so that this evolution is no longer a philosophical or spiritual quest, but a creative and gradual journey towards the state of the Superman. The psychological attitude of modern man leads him into his psychologism, which is born of anxiety, whereas man should only live by certainty. But to live of certainty, he must have undergone a sufficient elevation of his spirit, so that his thought never again has the hold of yesteryear over him. His thinking must be refined, that is, his intelligence elevated and adjusted, as he undergoes the penetration and working action of energy. The elevation of man's spirit is so important to him that humanity cannot continue its progression through time, unless one day man can remember himself, while he will be beyond the flesh. This memory of himself must be perfect and not just a mechanism of his astral memory. This memory of himself will maintain the continuity of his mind in his mind, continuity of consciousness. And the latter will know the extrasensory order to which he belongs, an order infinitely larger and greater than his spiritual, or astral, or philosophical imagination can make him believe or know. Man's mutation is subject to the time he undergoes, as his principles are transformed so that his mind is freed from the low vibrations that feed his mind and emotions. It is these low vibrations that are at the source of human unhappiness, and they condition man, not to his spirit, but to his perispirit. The key to the elevation of man's spirit is buried in his ability to emerge in spirit from the powerlessness of his thoughts, so that he no longer has to feel, to use his thoughts, but to be able to create the thoughts he wants. To be able to explain what he knows. Man can no longer be subjected to his thoughts. He must be able to build them at will. His gaze must be able to move in any direction whatsoever and pierce the veil of mystery. Otherwise, he can only be in his paraspirit. And the paraspirit has no power. Since it is the emanation of inferior intelligence. That is, intelligence that is not pure, but simply experimental. Man's intelligence must be pure, real, and not experimental, because all experimental intelligence invokes memory, and man must no longer live by memory, but by the creative mind. It is certain that this new dimension of the spirit in man can only come to him as he approaches himself and moves away from the impressions created on his spirit by intelligences, by forces that operate through his thinking on the invisible planes of the earth. The elevation of the spirit of man is the ultimate struggle between the invisible and man. It is the suppression of the invisible in man. It is the power of man, of his spirit, on everything that can disturb him, diminish him, make him return to death. The spirit of the man of the sixth race is no longer a problem of definition. This will be a fact experienced by the man initiated into the mysteries of his genesis. Man must be initiated into what he has never understood or realized. He must be initiated into everything he knows, but could never understand, because he could not recognize the fact of his powerful but veiled intelligence. The elevation of man's spirit will destroy the earthly astral in man, those planes from which emanate the myriad of influences that have always kept man, his spirit, a prisoner. The first harbinger of the elevation of the spirit will be manifested by a very personal and universal intelligence both in all those who have begun to understand how to get out of the labyrinth of subjectivity, the fear of thought, the fear of fear in thought, the anxiety in thought, in order to enter the empty and full spaces of creative intelligence. The separation of consciousness on Earth between the fifth and sixth races will be the result of the elevation of spirit among those who will belong to this new world of thought and intelligence. The elevation of spirit is not limited. As soon as the elevation of spirit begins in man, the process continues until man has transmuted, that is, completely altered the consciousness of his subtle bodies. The elevation of the spirit of man coincides with the elevation of the spirit of the earth, but man can only understand this when he has overcome the wall created by his senses. The elevation of the spirit will instruct man in a way that is in no way appropriate to his intelligence, to his intellect, so that man can no longer participate in the life of the earth, as we know it today. Man will be forced to withdraw from today's world. Those whose minds will be elevated beyond astral consciousness will no longer be able to breathe the air of today's earth. They will be forced to seek out the life forces on another life plane. To evolve, the astral body of man must be transmuted into etheric energy, and this new energy will be the one that will feed the man of tomorrow. This energy will be his food, and man will no longer be under the control of animal energy. Then man will no longer have to breathe air to survive. He will live on an energy that no longer degrades, but which remains inviolable because this energy is not created by combustion. The fact that man feeds on an energy that is created by combustion subjects him to the astral forces that deal with this phenomenon on a material level. So, if combustion is an astral activity on the material level, it is normal that the man of tomorrow will be liberated from this combustion, since he will be liberated from the astral. The elevation of the spirit is important for man for this reason. The more astral man is, the more he breathes, and the more he breathes, the more astral he is. The elevation of the spirit of man will generate in him a new energy, and this energy will be his support. And from this energy, he will be able to live beyond the possibilities that man knows today. The elevation of the spirit also means the descent into matter of the energy of the spirit. And this descent will alter the astral body of man and provide him with the necessary energy so that man, so that his ego, can serve as a channel for the spirit of intelligence, that is, for the energy that must build a new civilization on Earth. The elevation of the spirit in man will allow him to achieve wonders, for he will be able to mate energy and intelligence. This has not yet been fully realized, and when this realization is manifest, man can cease, once and for all, to be a slave to anyone or anything. It will be the golden age for some, and paradise for others who will be closer to the ether. The elevation of the spirit is not a planetary condition. The elevation of the spirit is a phenomenon that man does not know yet today, that he does not realize yet today. But the elevation of the spirit is a completely new phenomenon for the man of the earth. This phenomenon is so new that man can only understand it as and when this elevation manifests itself in him. This phenomenon does not borrow any memory. It is not linked to any philosophical explanation. It cannot be interpreted in any philosophical or spiritual way. This phenomenon is really in its full measure the increasingly concrete actualization in the matter of the forces of the spirit, that is, the forces of these very advanced intelligences that will coordinate their activities with man, with mortal in the future. so that the elevation of the spirit. The phenomenon of the elevation of the spirit is indeed the phenomenon of the solarization of man. The phenomenon that will enable man in future generations to understand what he has never understood, to achieve what he could never achieve, and to reinvent the nature of life. Reinvent the nature of life in the sense that life will be lived in a totally different way, which is hidden today from the evolving man, because life, the intelligence of life, the spirit that descends into matter, can only be understood by man when man is already in this energy. That is why there is a limit to philosophy. There is a limit to philosophical explanation. And that man will discover as time goes by that the elevation of the spirit is the elevation of man and the descent of universal energy on earth. Man must no longer one day breathe the air of the earth as he did for a long time. Man, one day, must feed on an energy that is no longer material, in order to be able to establish on earth a civilization that is no longer controlled in its evolution by forces that use breathing, by forces that use animal biology, to reverse the polarity of intelligence and thus create on the material globe a perfect mirage.